ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled The Lord in the Heart. Today we are reading text 24. Vaishvanaram yati vihaya sagataha. Vaishvanaram yati vihaya sagataha. Shushumnaya Brahma Patena Shochisha Shushumnaya Brahma Patena Shochisha Viduta Kalko Atha Harir Udastat Viduta Kalko Atha Harir Udastat Prayati Chakram Ripa Saishumaram Prayati Chakram Ripa Saishumaram Vaishvanaram Yati Vihaya Sagataha Shushum Naya Brahma Patena Shochisha Viduta Kalko Atha Harir Udastat Prayati Chakram Ripa Saishumaram Vaishvanaram Yati Vihaya Sagataha Shushum Naya Brahma Patena Shochisha Viduta Kalko Atha Harir Udastat Prayati Chakram Ripa Saishumaram Vaishvanaram The controlling deity of fire. Yati goes. Vihayasa. By the path in the sky, the Milky Way. Gata. By passing over. Shushumnaya. By the Shushumna. Brahma. Brahmaloka. Patena. On the way to. Shochisha. Illuminating, Viduta, being washed off, Kalkaha, birth, Atha, thereafter, Hare, of Lord Hari, Udastat, upwards, Prayati, does reach, Chakram, circle, Nripa, O King, Shaishumaram, name Shishumara. Translation and purport by Prabhupada. O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Shushumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations, and thereafter he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumara to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Purport. The polar star of the universe and the circle thereof is called the Shishumara circle, and therein the local residential planet of the personality of Godhead, Shirodakshai Vishnu, is situated. Before reaching there, the mystic passes over the Milky Way to reach Brahmaloka, and while going there, he first reaches Vaishvanara Loka, where the demigod controls fire. On Vaishvanara Loka, the yogi becomes completely cleansed of all dirty sins acquired while in contact with the material world. The Milky Way in the sky is indicated herein as the way leading to Brahmaloka, the highest planet of the universe. Om Agyanati Mirandashya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shra Padankikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripatamaham Pande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 2, and today's verse is 24. So this chapter is known as the Lord in the Heart, and it describes the Paramatma realization through the process of Ashtanga Yoga. In the first chapter, we saw the Sukadeva Goswami describing how to realize the universal form of the Lord. And in this chapter, he has started describing, he is going higher in the levels of yoga, and now he started describing how to do Ashtanga Yoga and thus achieve Paramatma realization. The initial verses of this chapter actually describe the beauty of the Lord in the heart, or of the Paramatma in the heart. And they describe how the Lord is 8 inches tall, and how he is beautifully decorated with different jewels, with the Kaustubha Mani, how he is wearing yellow glittering garments, and in his four hands he is holding the Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. So all this beauty of the Lord is described in great detail by Sukadeva Goswami in the initial verses of this chapter. And from verse 15 onwards, Sukadeva Goswami starts describing that how such a yogi who is practicing Ashtanga Yoga and who wants to realize the Paramatma through Ashtanga Yoga, how such a yogi should quit his body. So now whatever verses we are reading from verse 15 onwards are the process by which an Ashtanga yogi should leave his body in this material world. So it describes in verse 17 and 18 that how the Ashtanga yogi should regulate his life air within the body, and he should move his life air upward, starting from the base chakra, the Mula chakra I think it's called, and how he should slowly move the life air upwards and upwards until they reach the cerebrum. And then the Ashtanga yogi should leave. That means the soul should escape through the hole in the cerebrum and reach the Supreme Lord. And only a yogi who has no material desires, only such a yogi by doing this process will reach the Supreme Lord. However, there are some, Prabhupada describes in the further verses, that there are some yogis who are quite inquisitive and who want still higher and higher levels of sense gratification. And because they are Ashtanga yogis, they might not be looking for gross sense gratification like people in the material world on the earth planet do, but they are looking for subtle levels of sense gratification, that too on the higher planes or higher planets. So such yogis are very inquisitive, and therefore they cannot travel outside the material world like an Ashtanga yogi who has already realized Paramatma and who has given up all his desires and can reach the Supreme Lord directly. The yogi who has material desires cannot directly reach the Supreme Lord. So he has to travel. Krishna fulfills the desire. So he has to travel through the various higher planetary systems. And then only he can leave the material world. So as described over here, this is a one verse in the series of verses of which all planets the yogi has to travel. So as described over here, he passes over the Milky Way, and on his way to Brahmaloka, he goes to the deity, the planet of the deity of fire, which is called as Vaishvanara planet. And there he gets further purified, and then through the Milky Way he reaches Brahmaloka. So Bhurijan Prabhu describes in his book, The Unveiling His Lotus Feet, he describes that to escape the material world through the intricate and indirect method of Ashtanga Yoga is very, very difficult. Because Ashtanga Yoga is a very intricate and very indirect method of achieving or of God realization. We see how a yogi has to sit in meditation in a clean place, and then he has to regulate his life airs, and he should have that expertise, how to move the life airs in the body. So it's a very intricate and detailed process. And Bhurichandrapu describes it's very difficult to achieve the Supreme Lord through this indirect process. And he says that most of these yogis actually get deviated from the goal which they had in their mind initially, that is to attain the Supreme. Most of them get deviated. And why do they get deviated? Because during the process of Ashtanga Yoga, these yogis acquire what is known as mystic siddhis. And these siddhis offer them so many benefits, like they can become lighter than the air, they can fly, they can travel to any other part of the universe. So all these benefits come to them because of practicing Ashtanga Yoga. And therefore they get deviated from the path of God realization. And then some of them become inquisitive. Oh, let me see how the Siddhas and the Vidyadharas and all these people live in the higher planetary systems. How is it that they are able to fly from one planet to the other? So all these thought processes start in the yogi's mind. And as soon as these start, then the Lord fulfills his desires and he cannot escape the material world directly. So then he has to stay. He will travel upwards to like a tour he is taking of the material universe. So he will travel upwards, but he has to stay in this material world as long as Lord Brahma lives. And when he goes to Satyaloka, after getting purified, he stays on that planet, and if he is completely pure and has awakened his love for Godhead, then he pierces the material universe. So it is described in verse 30-31, those descriptions will come, that one by one such a yogi crosses the layers of the material universe. And then ultimately he reaches the last layer, which is the false ego. And then he escapes to the spiritual world. So Bhurichandrapu says that it's a very cumbersome process, the whole Ashtanga Yoga process. You can achieve God realization, but very, very hard to practice, especially in the modern age, Bhurichandrapu explains in his book. He says that it is in Kali Yuga it is very difficult to do this indirect process of God realization. People don't have control over their mind, they don't even know how to regulate their life here. They don't even have awareness of what is chakras and where they are situated. So it's very difficult for them to practice this process. And therefore Bhurichandrapu says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended that the best way and the most direct and practical method to realize God is through the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that is such a quick method, because in Ashtanga Yoga, the yogi who is travelling upwards, like described here, he travels to Brahmaloka through the Milky Way, and then he has to stay for thousands and thousands and millions of years. Because we have knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Brahma's life is almost eternity as compared to our life. So such a yogi has to stay for millions of years, he is stuck in the material world. And only then, when sufficiently purified, he can escape. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us such an easy process and such a direct process. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra offenselessly and you can go back to Godhead in this short lifetime of 70 or 80 years, whatever is there, in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada says that this is the best method, and Bhurichandrapu also describes, further reiterates this point, that this is the best method for people in this modern age of Kali Yuga. People whose minds are disturbed, people who don't know this process of Ashtanga Yoga, people who don't have such a long lifespan so as to achieve the goals of Ashtanga Yoga. For them, the best method is to chant Hare Krishna. Because what is the goal at the end of the day? The goal is that Ante Narayana Smriti, that we should be remembering the Lord, the Supreme Lord, when we leave our body. And if we remember the Supreme Lord when we leave our body, only then can we achieve the spiritual world or service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is what Prabhupada and Bhurichandrapu reiterate, that the best way is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so that you will have this Ante Narayana Smriti and you will be able to go out of this material world. So we see that this whole chapter from verse 15 onwards is a description of how to leave this material world successfully through the process of Ashtanga Yoga. And Bhurichandrapu says that Bhakti Yoga is the easiest process to leave this material world and not the indirect and cumbersome process of Ashtanga Yoga. So today it is the disappearance day of a very great Bhakti Yogi and of a great Mahajan, none other than Haridas Srila Haridas Thakur. who appeared during Lord Chaitanya's time. And he was a bhakti yogi whose passing away actually is a great example for all sadhakas like us. His passing away was so fortunate and glorious that there is a whole chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which is dedicated to the passing of Srila Haridas Thakur. So because it's his disappearance day today, we'll discuss a few pastimes from the last chapter, from the chapter called Passing Away of Haridas Thakur from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Haridas Thakur is one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came in this world during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time mainly to propagate or to establish the importance of chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He was the Namacharya of Kali Yuga. And he left also the material world, leaving an example for all of us. So this chapter, which is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anta Leela, it's chapter 11. It's a very auspicious chapter, and it's a strange coincidence that this chapter has 108 verses, which is also a very auspicious number. So we will discuss from the beginning how this chapter starts, and how we will discuss a few qualities of Haridas Thakur. And we will also discuss what lessons we can learn from the passing away of Haridas Thakur. So the chapter begins by Govinda, who is the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Govinda used to come and serve Haridas Thakur. And at this stage in the Chaitanya Leela, Haridas Thakur has become quite old. And his body has become emaciated and he has become quite weak. So Govinda comes to Siddha Bakul, where Haridas Thakur used to stay in Jagannath Puri. And he comes, he has brought Jagannath Mahaprasad for Haridas Thakur. He comes and offers it to Haridas Thakur. But when he enters, he sees that Haridas Thakur is lying down and he is completely unwell. And in a very feeble voice, he is chanting his Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he is chanting his Japa. So Govinda could make out that there is no strength in Haridas Thakur's body. And somehow or the other, he is trying to chant his rounds. And then Govinda says to Haridas Thakur, Govinda kahe utho asi karaha bhojan. So he says that, O Haridas Thakur, please rise and please honor this Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath which I have brought for you. Please, please leave your chanting now and come and honor this Mahaprasad. So Haridas Thakur replies, Haridas kahe aaj karimu langan. Haridas Thakur says that today I am going to fast, my dear Govinda. You have brought this Mahaprasad, but unfortunately I am going to fast. So Govinda is surprised. He says, why? Why do you want to fast today, Haridas Thakur? And Haridas Thakur replies. He says, Sankhya kirtan pure nahi ke mate khaiba. Sankhya kirtan pure nahi. Sankhya means number of rounds. So he says that I haven't finished my prescribed number of rounds. So how can I eat? I cannot eat because it is my vow. It was Haridas Thakur's vow that he would never eat till he finishes his rounds. And Haridas Thakur was not chanting 16 rounds like all of us. He used to chant 300,000 names of the Lord every day. I think that is 192 rounds every day. So only after finishes his rounds, he would put the first morsel of food in his mouth. That was his strong vow. But here we are learning the first lesson from this pastime, that although Haridas Thakur had this mood and he had taken this vow or this resolution that he will not eat till he has finished his prescribed rounds, we cannot imitate these great personalities. That was Haridas Thakur. He is a great Mahabhagwat. But for us at our level, it is quite difficult if we start imitating that, okay, today onwards I am also going to do this. I am not going to eat till I finish my rounds. So if we can sustain it, and if our situation permits, it's a very good thing to do. But practicality dictates. So we see that in Kali Yuga, we are all quite busy. Now for example, if grahasthas in the congregation, they take this vow. So there are many grahasthas who go to office, they go leave early in the morning. So not all of them can finish their rounds in the morning itself. Many of them have to come back home and complete their rounds. And if they take this vow, then they'll be fasting every day till evening. They won't be able to eat till they come back in the evening. And same is with brahmacharis or the temple devotees. Because many of the temple devotees might have services in the morning, deity services or some other services in the morning. And because of that, they might not be able to complete their rounds in the morning. And then they have to obviously chant later on in the day. So then if this resolution is taken that, oh, I will not eat like Haridas Thakur till I finish my rounds, then life will start becoming very difficult for all the temple devotees also. So when we read such things in the Shastras, when we read all these examples of great Mahabhagavats like Haridas Thakur, then we have to understand that rather than imitating these resolutions which these great Mahabhagavats could sustain in their life, it is better to follow the principle which is being taught by these great personalities. So even in Vedic times we know that in the Shastras it is mentioned that a brahmachari should not eat till his Guru Maharaj gives him permission to eat, or till his Guru Maharaj tells him to eat. And a grahastha should not eat till he goes out of his house, when prasad is ready in his house, he goes out and he has to loudly call out 3 times. Anyone hungry? Anyone hungry? Anyone hungry? And he has to wait that, okay, if there are some hungry people, they come to my house, first feed them and then only the grahastha should eat prasad. But how do we follow these injunctions of the Shastras in today's age? Now, especially in a setting like ISKCON, we know that most of our Guru Maharaj travel all over the world. So if a brahmachari takes this resolution, understanding this principle from the Shastra, that, oh, I'm not going to eat till my Guru Maharaj gives permission. But the Guru is not even present at that place to give permission. So then the brahmachari decides, oh, I don't mind. I'm going to do ISD calls every time, wherever my Guru Maharaj is. And after I ask his permission, then only I will eat. But Guru Maharaj may be in a different time zone. So are we going to do that? Although our lunch time means Guru Maharaj resting time, we will wake him up and we'll say, oh Guru Maharaj, can you please give me permission? I want to take my lunch now. So we know it's not practical. It's impractical to follow all these injunctions in today's day and age. And the grahastha, now in Australia, if you know, in Melbourne, if we go out and we call out loudly 3 times before we eat prasad, somebody might call the police saying that there's a crazy person living next door. So it's very difficult. And in India, if we follow this injunction, there might be a long line of people who want to eat. And we might go kangal, it's called. You know, we might go bankrupt very soon because there is nothing left for you to eat. So very difficult to follow all these injunctions of the Shastras. So therefore, it is so important to understand the principle that we don't do anukaran of all these pastimes. When we read these pastimes, we don't do anukaran. Anukaran means falsely imitating some injunctions of the Shastras or falsely imitating some great personalities. But we do what is called as anusaran. Anusaran, the definition given in Sanskrit, it means to follow in the footsteps of or to apply the principle in your life. So in our previous section of Bhakti Vedanta course, we were studying the pastime of Narasimha Dev in the 7th canto. And in fact, this was one of the essay topics which Keshav Prabhu gave us, how one should follow but not imitate. And the reference was Narad Muni's life. So the pastime was that Hiranyakashipu had left to do austerities and Kayadhu was alone at that time and she was pregnant also. Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of Kayadhu. And demigods take advantage of the absence of Hiranyakashipu and they actually come to capture Kayadhu, to kidnap Kayadhu and to kill the child, thinking that he is also a great demon. And at that time Narad Muni intervenes. And he does not allow the demigods to kill Kayadhu, to kill the child, because he knows that it's Prahlad Maharaj, it's a great devotee. And then he brings Kayadhu to his ashram. And Kayadhu stays in Narad Muni's ashram till Hiranyakashipu returns back after performing his austerities from Mandara Hill. So there Prabhupada explains that Kayadhu was a young woman. She was pregnant with a child, but still Narad Muni kept her in his ashram. And Prabhupada says that unscrupulous people who read all these things, they immediately try to imitate. Oh, Narad Muni lived with a young woman, I can also live with a young woman in my house. So Prabhupada then warns over there that Narad Muni is also a Mahajan. So we do not imitate whatever Narad Muni does. And there is no contamination on the part of Narad Muni for doing such an activity of keeping Kayadhu in his ashram or giving shelter to Kayadhu. Because Narad Muni is completely transcendental. He is above the bodily platform of life. He actually does not even see who is man or woman. His main mood is compassion, how to deliver people. So he wanted Kayadhu to continuously hear Bhagavatam. And he wanted Prahlad Maharaj to benefit by the Shravanam of Bhagavatam. So that was his sole purpose of keeping Kayadhu in his ashram. And Prabhupada explains over there that rather than imitating such activities of Narad Muni, we should imbibe the mood of Narad Muni. And what is Narad Muni's mood? Narad Muni's mood is that he is an expert preacher. He preaches according to time, place and circumstance. So that is what Prabhupada says, that is what we should follow, rather than imitating all these pastimes of Narada Muni, which are wrong for on our part to follow. So even in this pastime we see that instead of doing Anukarana Haridas Thakur, that means falsely imitating his resolution, it is better that we follow the principle which Haridas Thakur is teaching us through this pastime. And what is the principle that is being taught? The principle that is being taught is that give priority to japa. So Haridas Thakur was giving priority to japa over eating. He would not eat his prasad till he has finished his japa. But we give priority to japa over other things in our life. So before we do anything else, any of our daily activities in our house or in our daily life, we first finish, try to complete our prescribed number of rounds. So prioritize your japa. Don't leave it to the later part of the day if time permits. And you know, just don't postpone it just because we are engaged in something else. So somehow or the other, we should try to complete our rounds in the morning. That is what is the principle which Haridas Thakur is preaching over here. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami further describes this pastime from the passing away of Haridas Thakur chapter. He says, but then Haridas Thakur is in a dilemma. He says that Sankhya, I haven't finished, Sankhya Pure Kahe Nahi. I haven't finished the prescribed number of rounds and therefore I cannot eat. But he is in a dilemma because what has Govinda brought? He has brought the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. So he also knows that how can I refuse if someone is bringing the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath? How can I neglect the Mahaprasad of Jagannath? So he says, Mahaprasad aniyache ke mate upekshiva. Upekshiva means, upeksha means to neglect. How do I neglect? So he is now, Haridas Thakur is in a dilemma. That I have to chant before I eat, that is my service to Krishna. But also honoring Mahaprasadam, that is also service to Krishna. So how do I solve this dilemma? What do I do? And Prabhupada explains over there that as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we are usually faced with these dilemmas in our life ourselves. And we are always faced with situations where we cannot decide, oh, whether I should give priority to this service or this service, whether I should take up this service or I should continue with whatever services I already have. So we are always faced with such dilemmas. And in practical life, it is known as decision making. So always we are faced, okay, what decision to take? This is a situation which has come up in my life. So Govinda, you brought Mahaprasad for me. I cannot eat till I chant my rounds, but I also cannot neglect because it is the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. So same situation was there in Yashoda Maya's life also. She was also faced with such a dilemma when she was feeding Lord Krishna her motherly milk. So she was feeding Lord Krishna and at the same time she realizes that the milk which she has kept on the stove for boiling is going to boil over and it's going to spill. And that milk she had kept for boiling because she wanted to make some sweets for Krishna. So she is also in this dilemma, whether I should put Krishna down or I should not put Krishna down. Whether I should go and save that milk or I should allow it to boil over. And Prabhupada explains in the purports to that leela, the Damodar leela which happens, where Yashoda Maya is facing this dilemma. Prabhupada says that sincere devotees of the Lord, who are seriously dedicated to serving the Lord, bhajatam priti purvakam, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I give them the intelligence, the dami buddhi yogantam. I give them the intelligence by which they can decide or they can choose which service to do. So therefore Yashoda Maya was guided by Krishna from within the heart that okay, right now you put me down and you go and save that milk. And of course Krishna guided her like that because he wanted the whole Damodar Leela pastime to take place. So then Yashoda Maya decides that my milk is always there, but that milk might spill over and I might not be able to make sweets for Krishna. So she puts Krishna down, that too just momentarily. As soon as she wanted to take the milk off the stove, she was going to feed Krishna her milk again. So she puts Krishna down and she goes and saves the milk. Now for us, it is very convenient to say that, oh, Krishna guided me from within and therefore I decided to do this. It's a very convenient way to justify whatever we might want to do or whatever our mind dictates. So Prabhupada again warns over here that Krishna guides devotees from within the heart, dadami yugi buddhi yogam dam, but that is for pure devotees or for Mahabhagavats. So for pure devotees like Yashoda Maya or Haridas Thakur, Krishna as the super soul, as the Paramatma directly gives guidance to such a devotee as to what decision to make when faced with such dilemmas. But for practitioners or for sadhakas like us, Krishna actually guides through the Guru. So the Guru or the spiritual master usually tells, okay, if they, you know, when there are big decisions involved in life, then we usually go to the Guru. We don't take decisions, oh, Krishna is telling me from within my heart. In fact, when we talk to people, we sometimes tell them that, you know, we request new people to come to the temple. And they say, no, 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 only when Krishna tells me from within the heart, I will come to the temple. It's very hard to convince these people that, you know, how is Krishna talking to you? You don't even know whether Krishna is in your heart. You have not even realized that. Because you are still, you know, neophyte. You are coming into the path of Krishna consciousness. But people say such statements to suit their convenience. Because they want to avoid coming to the temple, they say that, oh, whenever Krishna tells, I will come. So Prabhupada warns that for sadhakas, it is the Guru who will guide us. So whenever we are faced with dilemmas, where, you know, big decisions have to be taken in our life, then we usually approach the spiritual master. Or we usually approach our senior devotees, our seniors. Or we usually approach the temple authorities. So if every one of us starts following this injunction, that Krishna guided me from within to do this service and not that service, then the temple commander will have a tough job. Because everyone will say, no, no, Krishna told me not to do this service, but to do that service only. The temple commander will go crazy trying to get the services done. So for us, it is the authorities, the representatives of Krishna who guide us. Krishna actually inspires them and then they guide us as to what to do in such difficult situations in our life. So that is the principle we learn from this situation, that if faced with dilemmas, we seek guidance from our seniors or our authorities. We don't take decisions thinking that Krishna is telling me this to do from within my heart. So Haridas Thakur is also in a similar dilemma right now. That how do I honor Mahaprasadam, at the same time how do I honor my vow of not eating before chanting my rounds. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami further describes this pastime, and he describes that Haridas Thakur in two words. He says that Haridas Thakur is actually a Mahabhagavat. A pure devotee of the Lord on the liberated platform. He is completely transcendental. So that is one way in which one adjective he gives to Haridas Thakur. And the second word he describes Haridas Thakur, he says that he is Parama Vidwan. He is a greatly learned scholar. So now this combination is actually very rare. When we see pure devotees, when we see Mahabhagavat, usually they don't delve too much into the philosophy of scriptures. They don't study the grammar and they don't get into that vad vivad of scriptures. Because they know the essence, they know that Krishna is the Lord and they are already worshipping the Lord. So it's not that they neglect the philosophy, but they don't delve too deeply just to gain theoretical knowledge of the scriptures. And if we take example of Parama Vidwans, we take example of greatly learned scholars, usually these people are not Mahabhagavats. Whenever we see a Parama Vidwan, especially on the material platform, they are highly proud of their academic learning. And we know one such example from the Chaitanya Leela itself. There was Keshav Kashmiri. He was highly proud of his learning. And he used to think that nobody can defeat me in life. So we see that it's a very rare combination of being a Mahabhagavat as well as being a Parama Vidwan. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Haridas Thakur was both. So he was a Mahabhagavat, he was being guided. That means he was a pure devotee and he was directly being guided from Krishna, by Krishna from within the heart. But he also knew the philosophy of the scriptures very well. And Prabhupada describes in there, in the purport. He says that Parama Vidwan is not someone who just knows all the shlokas or who just knows all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam in and out, and they can recite purports or they can tell, just narrate whatever is there in the scriptures. But a Parama Vidwan is a person who knows the essence of the scriptures and who knows how to apply this essence in their life. So that is what is termed by as Parama Vidwan by Srila Prabhupada. And Haridas Thakur was one such Parama Vidwan. He knew how to apply the essence of the scriptures in his life. So there is thus to eat or not to eat, or whether to continue chanting. This dilemma was being faced by Haridas Thakur. Now for us, there will be no such dilemma. For example, if we are chanting our rounds and someone comes with a plate of Mahaprasad, especially like people like me, I will immediately leave my chanting and honor the prasad first. So it is only with people like Haridas Thakur who are resolute in their determination, such dilemmas come up in life. And therefore, what did Haridas Thakur do to solve this dilemma? He honored the Mahaprasad by offering prayers. He says, Karila, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Karila Vandan. He actually offered prayers to Mahaprasad. And then he took a morsel of the Mahaprasad, just a small morsel, a tiny fraction of the Mahaprasad he honored. And he did not neglect Mahaprasad. So this is the way in which Haridas Thakur honored Mahaprasad. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur therefore says that when he has recited the Prasadam, he has written down the Prasadam prayers. You know, we always chant Sharira Vidya Jal. Those prayers are called as Prasada Seva Prarthana or service to the Prasadam. So that means prasadam is something which we serve. We just don't eat it for our sense gratification. And that is what Haridas Thakur also did. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, there is a very nice example to show this principle of how to honor Mahaprasadam in the life of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as we know, was a Mayavadi initially. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually converts him to become a devotee. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings Jagannath Mahaprasad to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and he knocks on the door, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was sleeping at that time. So he gets up saying, Krishna, Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very happy that, oh, this Mayavadi is taking Krishna's name, it is so good. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers this Mahaprasad to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he says that I've brought this Jagannath Prasad for you. And what does Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya do? He immediately honors it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is surprised. He says, hey, what's wrong with you? Have you forgotten the rules of the scriptures? You have not even washed your mouth. You have not even taken bath. And how are you honoring the Lord Mahaprasad? And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, actually quoting Padma Puran, he says that my Lord, whether Mahaprasad is fresh or stale, or whether your situation permits or doesn't permit, as soon as Mahaprasad arrives at your or somebody brings it to you, you should immediately honor it. Not even considering who has brought it, at what time they have brought it. You should immediately honor the Mahaprasad as soon as someone offers you this. So this is what is written in the Padma Puran, and that is what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quotes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So since Haridas Thakur is a Parama Vidwan, he applies this concept or this philosophy which is there in the Padma Puran, and he does not neglect the Mahaprasad which Govinda has brought, and he honors a morsel of the Mahaprasad. And there is example in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life also, how he used to honor Jagannath Mahaprasad. So whenever someone used to bring Jagannath Mahaprasad to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would first keep it in an elevated place, and after keeping it there, he would offer prostrated obeisances to the Prasad. After that, he would circumambulate the Mahaprasad 3 times. And then he would do Achamanam. And only after that he would honor the Prasad. So this was a high level of reverence or regard which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had for Mahaprasad. Now if we start following, again imitate, if we start following this, whenever Prasad goes up, all of us first pay obeisances to the Prasad. Then we circumambulate, then we do Achamanam. It will become very hard for the servers to serve Prasad out. So it you know, logistics will become hard to work out. So again, but the principle is that how Mahaprasad should be honored. And Prabhupada says, therefore in the purport over there, Prabhupada says that please don't use the word I am going to eat Prasad. Prabhupada says always we should use the word that I am going to honor Prasad. So Prabhupada says that Prasadam and Krishna are non-different. And again Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he was speaking to a gentleman who came to his matha, and the devotees fed him rasgullas, and he loved them so much that he had 10-15 rasgullas in one go. And after that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked that person, he says, did you like the rasgulla? And that person says, oh, they were so nice, I really enjoyed them. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that are you supposed to enjoy Mahaprasad, or is Prasad supposed to enjoy you? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was teaching the principle that actually Prasadam is non-different from Krishna. So since Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, actually the Prasad is supposed to enjoy us. Of course, devotees eventually will enjoy the Prasad, because the principle of Bhakti Yoga is that we enjoy along with Krishna. We serve Krishna, we give him pleasure, and through that we obtain our pleasure. So obviously eventually we are going to enjoy prasad. But the principle is that prasadam should be honored, and prasadam should not be eaten just for sense gratification. And therefore, as devotees, for us practically, how do we understand this principle? Is that we at least chant the Mahaprasade Govinde prayers always before we honor prasad, so that we are in the right mood or consciousness when we are eating prasad. Sometimes, you know, when there is very nice prasadam, or when we were just chatting with someone, or we are very hungry, we might neglect chanting the Mahaprasade Govinde prayers. But Prabhupada says that for us to get in the right consciousness of honoring prasadam, we should actually chant these prayers every time before we eat prasad. And in fact, there is a very nice pastime which happened in one of the temples, ISKCON temples. I think I've mentioned this before in my class. There was a lady who goes to one of the temples, and she was quite new in that temple. So as you know, to newcomers, we serve them nicely. So the temple devotees gave her a very nice plate of Mahaprasad to eat. And this lady was talking to a few other people, and she had kept her Mahaprasad. And she had to use the bathroom, so she was a little busy for some time. And by the time she came back, her Mahaprasad plate was lost. And she asked one of the devotees who was there, that, oh, I had kept my Mahaprasadam plate here, I was a little busy, I had to go here and there, but now it's missing. So then that person, the devotee says that, please forget about that Mahaprasad, you're not going to get it back now. And then the lady goes back home, and then she realizes that she has lost one of her necklaces. She had worn some necklace, some gold chain or something, and she has lost it in the temple. And she actually was panicking that, oh, my gold necklace is lost. So she rushes back to the temple the next day, and she goes to the same devotee who was managing the reception, and she says that, I had lost my gold necklace, I'm so worried, did you find it? And he said, yeah, one of the devotees found it and he has turned it in, here is your necklace. So the lady was stunned. She said that the gold necklace I lost, but I'm getting it back, but Mahaprasad I lost, but I could not get it back. But she had the realization. She said that, I have this realization today that what Hare Krishna's value more. I have realized it. They value Mahaprasadam more than gold. And therefore I could find my gold necklace, but I couldn't find the Mahaprasad plate which you all had given me. So this is the principle we learn from this, the second principle we learn from this pastime of Haridas Thakur, that honor prasad in the right consciousness. Haridas Thakur offered prayers to the prasad and then he honored prasadam. And then the pastime continues in this chapter. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually comes next day to see Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that Haridas Thakur is getting very old and feeble. And his body is completely getting diseased and he is not able to do his daily activities properly. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Haridas Thakur. He says that, oh Haridas Thakur, are you well? Are you alright? He asks Haridas Thakur. And this is a question, I was listening to a lecture and in that the devotee was mentioning that this is a question which many devotees ask each other, that to ask about the well-being of the devotee. They say, are you well or are you in the well? That means, are you in Maya? And Haridas Thakur, we know, is actually not in the well. He is quite well spiritually. But still he answers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that, no, I am not well, I am in the well. That's what Haridas Thakur answers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But most of us, especially speaking of me, actually we are in the well, but we think that we are all very well and we don't have anything to worry about. So Haridas Thakur says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that Sharira Sustha Hoi Mora. Sustha means Swastha. It comes from the Sanskrit, from the Hindi word Swastha. So Sharira Sustha Hoi Mora Asustha Buddhi Man. What does this mean? He's saying that my body is very well, but Asustha Hoi Buddhi Man. My mind and my intelligence are completely unwell. Now we know that Haridas Thakur is an old man. His body has become weak. He is not even able to sit up and chant his rounds. He is lying down and chanting his rounds. So we know that he is diseased and he is unwell. But still he is saying that no, my body is well, but it is my mind and my intelligence which is unwell right now, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him that, oh, what is your disease? What is your unwell? What asustha? Why are you saying that you are asustha? And Haridas Thakur then describes to him. He says that my buddhi and man are asustha because I am not able to complete my prescribed number of rounds. And that is why my buddhi and man are completely gone. They are not at all well, because they are not allowing me to finish my rounds. And this is the next lesson we learn from this pastime, that the real well-being is actually spiritual well-being. It is not physical well-being. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Haridas Thakur about his health, but Haridas Thakur is replying about his spiritual health and not about his physical health. Although physical health was not good, he is saying it's good. But according to him, because he was not able to finish his rounds, he felt that his spiritual health was completely not good. And Prabhupada describes in the purport, Prabhupada says that the greatest disease for a spiritual practitioner or a practitioner of Krishna consciousness is if he is not able to complete his 16 rounds. So if we are not able to do our 16 rounds every day, which Prabhupada has instructed all of us to do, then we have to realize that we are in a diseased condition of mind. But Haridas Thakur was not like that. He was not in the well. He was completely well. But still he was thinking that because he is not able to complete his 192 rounds, therefore my buddhi and man are asustha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then tells Haridas Thakur that he says that Haridas Thakur, you are vruddha hoila. You have become so old now. So you, sankhya alpakara, please reduce your rounds. Alpakara means reduce your rounds. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Haridas Thakur had this big resolution of chanting 192 rounds every day. So he says that you are old, you have chanted for years all your rounds without breaking even one day. So in this old age, at least now, please look after your body and don't tax yourself so much. Please reduce your rounds. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requests Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur, actually, we'll see what Haridas Thakur replies when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requests him like this. But one more lesson we learn from this pastime is that the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. Lord Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not lords of rigidity, but they are lords of flexibility. That is the pastime we learn from here. So actually Krishna consciousness is very pleasurable. It is su sukham kartum avyayam. It is very pleasurable. It is not a burden. Krishna doesn't want to burden us that, oh, now you become my devotee and endure this burden throughout your life. No, no, no. If we know the principles of Krishna consciousness well and we apply them properly in our lives, then actually it's a very joyful process. It's actually a very blissful process. But again, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they adjust understanding the situation of the devotee. They are very flexible. So understanding the situation of Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling him that please sankhya alpa karila, please reduce your rounds. Don't chant so many rounds. Your body is not able to sustain this anymore. And even the example of Sanatan Goswami is given. So Sanatan Goswami also, in his old age, even though his body was not coping, he used to do parikrama, every day parikrama of Govardhan. And that time it is not, I think right now we have some 14 or 18 kilometers, but that time it was some 26 kilometers parikrama. So he used to do the whole parikrama every day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not see this. He could not tolerate the suffering which Sanatan Goswami's body was going through because of doing the parikrama. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes to Sanatan Goswami and he requests him that now you have become old, you give this up. And Sanatan Goswami also replies. He says, no, 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 this is my vow. This is my service to the Lord. How can I give this up? How can I stop doing parikrama of Govardhan? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, because he was so feeling so compassionate for the suffering of Sanatan Goswami's body, he actually gives him a Govardhan Shila. And he tells him that you circumambulate this Shila three times a day, and that is as good as circumambulating the entire Govardhan Parvat. So we see the mood of the Lord, that the Lord is completely Bhakta Vatsal. He is not at all a Lord of rigidity. And again there is an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit also, his service was to worship Tota Gopinath. And he was a regular pujari of Tota Gopinath. Every day in, day out, non-stop Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping Tota Gopinath. But he had also become old and Tota Gopinath was a big deity. So Gadadhar Pandit was not able to reach and garland the Lord or put jewelry on the Lord. And it was very hard in his old age for him to do all these activities or all these services for the Lord. And Tota Gopinath, feeling compassion for his pure devotee Gadadhar Pandit, he then actually bends down so that Gadadhar Pandit can easily garland him and so that Gadadhar Pandit can easily decorate him. So this is the only Gopinath deity in the world which is actually bending down or sitting down to receive service from his devotee. So we see that the Lord is Bhaktavatsala. He is not rigid. No, you have taken the vow, now you have to keep doing it no matter what. You have to keep serving me. The Lord is not like that. The Lord is very flexible. But because the Lord is flexible, that does not mean that devotees take a license to reduce their service to the Lord. So especially for devotees like me, if someone comes and tells me that now it's enough, you have chanted your rounds enough, you reduce, I think I'll jump with joy. It will be nectar, oh, I can reduce my rounds. But these pure devotees are not like that. So they don't take these sanctions which the Lord gives, understanding their situation, as a license to reduce their rounds. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually describes that what is determination in these matters, because Haridas Thakur was displaying his determination. He wasn't listening to the Lord in this matter of reducing his rounds, even though the Lord told him. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes or defines determination. He says that even if Lord Krishna comes to the devotee and tells the devotee that whom are you doing all this service for? Whom are you chanting all these rounds for? It's for me only, no? So I am only telling you, now you reduce. Don't do all this service or don't chant all these rounds. It's okay if you don't do it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that determination of a devotee is when the devotee tells the Lord that, my Lord, only this injunction of yours I cannot follow. Please, I'm not going to stop my rounds or reduce my rounds, but I'm going to continue as I was doing before. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that it is not that the devotee wants to disobey the Lord's instructions, but the devotee is in the mood of showing his resolute determination that no matter what, I will continue my service to you. Like the last verse of Shikshashtakam says that whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or you completely neglect me, you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That is what is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshashtakam also. So this is what we see in this pastime, one more lesson in this pastime, that how Lord Haridas Thakur was completely determined to complete his rounds, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged him that please reduce your rounds. And then further the conversation happens between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. He says that, Ke ichha tomi, what is your desire, Haridas Thakur? And Haridas Thakur says that, my Lord, I know that you are going to wind up your earthly pastime soon. But please grant me this benediction that I don't have to see that pastime happening. That I should leave this world before you leave this world. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks to Haridas Thakur. He says that, what is this benediction you are asking me, O Haridas? How will I continue my pastime if devotees like you are not present to help me or to assist me in performing my pastime? How can you leave before me, Haridas? And Haridas Thakur then tells the Lord, now here there is one more lesson we learn from this pastime. We learn the lesson of humility. Haridas Thakur is showing exemplary humility during his conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that, my Lord, what you are saying, who am I to assist you in your pastimes? There are so many bhakta shiromani. He says there are so many hundreds and thousands of devotees who are much more elevated than me. And they are worthy to sit on my head. And who am I to assist you in your pastimes? I am actually born in a low family. Haridas Thakur actually starts giving his identity. He says that I am born in a low family. I was born in a mlecha, Muslim family. My activities are abominable. All my life I have not done anything but abominable activities. This is what Haridas Thakur is saying in his humility. And my body is also abominable. My body is earth prishya. I am an untouchable. So, my Lord, I am not at all worthy of assisting you in your pastimes. It is you who has made me qualified, and it is your mercy or your merciful nature that you are using me or using an unqualified person like me to be part of your pastimes. Otherwise, what qualification I have on any level, whether you consider my birth or you consider my activities or you consider my body, on any level I don't have any qualification to assist you in your pastimes. So this shows the humility, the exemplary humility of Haridas Thakur. And it is not that Haridas Thakur was, like sometimes as devotees we learn the language of ISKCON. And we say, oh, I'm so fallen, Prabhu. Oh, I'm so fallen, Mataji. So Prabhupada says that, no, being fallen or considering oneself fallen is not humility. Humility is to actually consider that whatever the Lord wants, I do. and I'm just an instrument. I am not the doer, but I'm just an instrument, and the Lord is using me in the way He wants me to be used. So that is real humility, which Haridas Thakur is displaying over here. He says, I'm aspraśya, I'm completely untouchable because of my birth and activities. And once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had taken some devotees on a yatra to Bangladesh because they wanted to see all the pastimes of Haridas Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur and all these, their birthplace and all. So in one of those places where Haridas Thakur, I think, had delivered the prostitute, Maharaj was describing that general people consider Haridas Thakur, or during that time, people used to consider Haridas Thakur, all the Smartha Brahmins and all, they used to consider Haridas Thakur as an untouchable because of his birth in the Mleccha family. And Maharaj says that we also consider Haridas Thakur as untouchable. And all the devotees were surprised. They were saying, oh, why is Maharaj saying we consider Haridas Thakur as untouchable? And then Maharaj qualifies his statement. He says, we consider Haridas Thakur untouchable by Maya. Mm-hmm. That is what Haridas Thakur is. So even though Maya personified came to lure Haridas Thakur, still Haridas Thakur could not be swayed. He could not be allured by Maya, even though she came in the most beautiful form. So as devotees, we also have to try to become that untouchable. I don't know if in Australia we have such a plant, but in India there is a plant called Touch Me Not. As soon as you touch that plant, it collapses, it closes. So yeah, as devotees, we should also try to become like that. That, you know, so that Maya doesn't touch us. As soon as we see Maya in some form coming and alluring our mind, we become that Touch Me Not plant. We close ourselves. Or as Krishna gives the example of the tortoise in Bhagavad Gita, he says that a devotee or a yogi should be like a tortoise. That when there is no requirement, or when there is no need, or when the tortoise senses danger, he immediately withdraws all his senses inside his shell. So that is how practitioners of Krishna consciousness should be. As soon as we sense that my senses may get distracted, we withdraw all our senses into our shell. And we bring them out in full force when they are required to preach Krishna consciousness. So this is what Haridas Thakur was displaying, his humility, by saying that I'm aspraśya, my Lord. I am completely untouchable. So then Haridas Thakur requests, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him further to express his desire. And Haridas Thakur requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, my Lord, when I leave my body, I should leave my body gazing at your lotus face, and I should leave my body with your lotus feet on my chest. That is my only desire, my Lord. You please fulfill that desire. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, who can deny your desire, Haridas Thakur? You will leave the world as you please because Krishna has empowered you. So next day then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Haridas Thakur is very soon going to leave his body. So he comes with all the devotees. He comes hastily to Siddha Bakul. And Haridas Thakur is lying down there again, feebly chanting his rounds. And all the devotees, they form a chain, a bedi, around Haridas Thakur. And everyone is doing loud, ecstatic kirtan for Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur is gazing at the lotus face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has kept Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet on his chest. And then he takes the dust of each and every devotee present over there, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dust, smears it on his body, and then he leaves this world. And all the devotees present there actually remember Bhishma Pitama, because this is how Bhishma Pitama also leaves the world, gazing at the 400 form of Lord Krishna, who was his worshipable Lord. So in this way, Haridas Thakur's passing away was the most glorious and fortunate event, that he could perfect his life, he could have the darshan of the Lord personally, and he also had the touch of the Lord while he was leaving the world. And in this way he perfected his life. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in two verses that there are five things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did for Haridas Thakur's passing away from this material world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did darshan. Darshan means he gave him his darshan. He allowed Haridas Thakur to gaze at his lotus face before leaving the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his sparshan. Sparshan means he allowed him the touch of his lotus feet. Haridas Thakur held the lotus feet on his chest, and while chanting and listening to the kirtan of the devotees, left this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did nartan. Nartan means after Haridas Thakur left, he was so jubilant that he took Haridas Thakur's body in his lap. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced all around Siddha Bakul. And he danced all the way to the ocean. And he personally bathed Haridas Thakur's body in that ocean. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares to everyone present there that from today onwards this ocean is a holy Teertha. Anyone who takes bath in this ocean, because the water has touched the body of a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur, such a person will be immediately purified. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did Nartan, dancing with Haridas Thakur's body. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally put sand. After he had bathed Haridas Thakur's body in the ocean, they take Haridas Thakur's body to create a tomb. So he actually, they dig a deep hole and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put sand personally on Haridas Thakur's body. And all the devotees also put sand and they completely covered Haridas Thakur's body. And after this ceremony was over, then what did Chaitanya, the fifth thing which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was he observed a big festival in honor of Haridas Thakur. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the marketplace of Jagannath Puri and he spread out his cloth and he went begging from shop to shop and house to house. And he said that today a pure devotee of the Lord has left this world. Let us have a big feast. Let us have a big festival. So all of y'all give bhoga so that we can cook a big feast and we can serve all the devotees. And then there was a huge festival in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally served prasadam to all the devotees. So these are the five things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did for Haridas Thakur's disappearance. He gave him darshan, he gave him sparshan, he did nartan with his body, he put sand on Haridas Thakur's body and then he observed a big festival on the glorious passing of Haridas Thakur. So also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a benediction when he observed that festival. He says that whoever participated in this festival today, whoever danced in the kirtan which was there in this festival today, whoever put sand on Haridas Thakur's body, or whoever, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, even whoever hears this pastime of the glorious passing away of Haridas Thakur or the disappearance of Haridas Thakur will definitely achieve Krishna's service in this lifetime. So this is the benediction which is offered for hearing the pastime of Haridas Thakur's passing away. So to sum up, we learn from the Haridas Thakur's pastime, passing away pastime, that we should not imitate great devotees, we should not do anukaran, but we should do anusaran, we should follow in their footsteps. So we don't imitate his vow of not eating before japa, but we follow the principle that give priority to japa. We also learned that when we are faced with dilemmas in life, then we take guidance of senior devotees or guru or our temple authorities to solve such dilemmas in life. And as Haridas Thakur did, he was a Mahabhagavat, he was guided by Krishna, and he also referred to the scriptures to solve a dilemma in his life. We also learned how to honor prasadam. So Haridas Thakur offered prayers to prasadam, and then he, without neglecting the prasadam, he honored a little morsel of the prasadam. So similarly, we also don't eat prasadam for ourselves, gratifying our senses, but we actually do it in the right consciousness that prasadam is Krishna himself. And then we honor prasadam nicely by chanting Mahaprasade prayers before honoring prasadam. And we also saw that true well-being of a devotee, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, are you well? And although Haridas Thakur was not well, he says, my body is well but mind is unwell. So the true well-being of a devotee is not physical well-being. Actually in material world we might all be very comfortable. We might live in comfortable houses or in the ashram comfortably. We might have enough money. But true well-being is whether our spiritual well-being is okay, whether our chanting is going okay. So that was one more lesson we learned, and we also saw Haridas Thakur's humility, that how he was calling himself Asprashya, that I'm untouchable because of my abominable birth and my activities. But still, you are using me as an instrument, O Lord, to fulfill your pastimes. So these are some of the lessons we learned from Haridas Thakur's passing away, and we'll end the class here, and we'll see if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
Thank you very much for giving such an excellent discourse about Haridas Thakur. My question is, when we are doing chanting, how to feel bliss? This is the main thing, is burying your chanting. So can you give us some hints how to feel bliss when you are doing?
You're asking the wrong person from me. Even I'm in the process of experiencing that bliss. But Prabhupada says that in the initial stages of a Krishna consciousness as sadhakas, because we are not on the Raganuga platform, we are still on the Sadhana Bhakti platform, we follow the regulative principles and we chant 16 rounds because that has been told by a spiritual master and that is what is being given in the Shastras. So initially our motive of doing these activities might be fear that if I don't chant my rounds or if I don't follow the four regulative principles, then I might incur sin, or my Guru Maharaj might not be pleased, or Prabhupada might not be pleased. So that is our initial feeling, and Prabhupada says that is all right. So initially in our sadhana bhakti platform, we might not feel the bliss which usually, you know, devotees who are on the bhava or plema platform may be experiencing. But still we continue. And as we mentioned in the lecture, that if we understand the principles of Krishna consciousness correctly, and we also be patient, utsaha nishchaya dhairyat. So we are enthusiastic to do our service, but at the same time we are also very patient. That whenever Krishna gives me the result, I will patiently wait for the results to come. So whenever Krishna allows me to experience bliss while chanting, I will patiently wait for that bliss to come. So but till that time, because our Guru Maharaj has said, we keep following it, and then as we do, you know, try to do attentive chanting, then we will go through the higher stages of ruchi, asakti, and then we will reach that platform of bliss.
So what you are saying is, in that also we need mercy.
Yes, definitely. At every stage of
the
our life.
Bliss will never come unless Lord uses.
Yeah, Lord sees our, it's like the Damodar Leela pastime. Lord sees our endeavor in chant, trying to chant attentively, and then he bestows his mercy on us and giving us some taste for the holy name. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Haridas Thakur Tirobhava Mahatsav ki.